Isn't it wonderful to know that he's pleased by us coming to him and giving him worship? Isn't it wonderful to know that the evidence of God's pleasure is that he presences himself with us? He's here with us. Just a beautiful time in his presence. It's good to be back with you. It's been probably around about 6 months, I think, since we were here last. And you may have noticed a change in my wife since then. We're expecting our first child in about 2.5 weeks. So if we have to urgently leave the building, then I do apologize in advance, but I think we'll be okay. But we're really pleased to be able to come back and see you all. And we know that we've got a word from God for you that will bless you and that will cause you to walk in even more fullness of what he's got for us in the days to come. We've been a few people from All Nations Church over the way there have been in to see you, I think, since the new year. So I think you've had David Shutt and James Aubrey in to share the word with you. And I'm going to be following along a little bit from what they've talked about, at least I hope to. And the theme of that has been the good news of the kingdom of God, which is a fantastic theme because it's the good news that all those people outside are waiting to hear. It's the good news that we've received and that we've believed and that we're now walking in. But it's the good news that all of this society and all of our neighbors and all of our colleagues are just waiting to hear. And I believe it's the good news that will change the world. I believe that Jesus Christ is the news that has once and for all changed everything. It changed the fabric of time. It changed all of the history of this world. Jesus came and in a moment everything changed. And we're now walking in the good of that. We're on the other side. We're on the side where we're in the good news of the kingdom and we're sharing that with one another. And I'd like to just talk about a few aspects of that and how we can walk in it. What is the kingdom of God then? It's a bit of a phrase you might have heard, you might not have heard. It is in the Bible. But I'll be talking a little bit about the kingdom of God, and I'd like to just give you what I mean by that, if that's okay. The kingdom of God is the everlasting rule and ever-increasing reign of God in action. So it's not just the rule of God that's some sort of, it's over here, but we don't quite know what it's doing. It's the rule of God that's in action. It's God ruling and reigning in the world today. The kingdom of God is his influence and his authority over people and places. The kingdom of God is God expressing his will. It's him saying, this is how I want things to be done, and it happening. And it's all summed up in Jesus, because he's the king. So Jesus is the king, and he has a kingdom. So it's a big deal, the kingdom of God. It's a big deal. And it's a big deal in Scripture. So if you turn with me to Matthew chapter 3, I'd just like to make a couple of little pointers here, just as a way of introduction. Matthew 3, and I'm just going to read you the first two verses, verses 1 to 2, if that's okay. It says, in those days John the Baptist came, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and he said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And you know that this is right before Jesus arrives in his public ministry. Jesus was already on the scene. He was growing up in this area. And then John the Baptist arrives as the usher, if you like, for when Jesus is about to turn up. And he arrives, and the first thing John the Baptist says is, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. He goes on to say, this is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, all those kind of things. But he first of all says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And so before Jesus even turns up, this word kingdom is happening. The kingdom of heaven is about to arrive. The kingdom of heaven is about to arrive. Something's about to change, is what John's saying. The old ways of doing things are about to move on, and the kingdom of heaven is about to arrive. And then you'll find that Jesus actually says the same thing later on. So in Matthew 4, if you just turn over probably one page, you'll find Matthew 4, and you'll find verse 17. So this is now Jesus who's talking, and it says, from that time Jesus began to preach, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So it's the same phrase, and it's almost as though John the Baptist preempts it, and he says, this is the message that's coming. The kingdom of heaven is here. And then Jesus comes along and says, my first message is this. The kingdom of heaven is here. And I'll go on to explain what that looks like. But the kingdom of heaven pops up again and again and again through the Gospels. So you'll find in Matthew 6, in the Lord's Prayer, Jesus tells us to pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, or your kingdom come, your will be done. So Jesus, again, is using this word. He's talking about a kingdom coming. And then later on, he tells some parables, and they're called the parables of the kingdom. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast in the bread. He's always talking about the kingdom of heaven. And then when Jesus rises from the dead, so he goes onto the cross, he dies, he rises from the dead, and then he spends 40 days with his disciples, and it says that he talked about the kingdom of God. In Acts chapter 1, it says he spent all that time talking about the kingdom of God. And then Paul does the same thing. So Paul is preaching, and he's going from place to place and place to place, and he ends up in Rome right before he dies. And he spends, I think, 2 years under house arrest. And it says that what did he talk about to the disciples who came to him? He talked about this kingdom of heaven. So it's clearly a really important theme in Scripture. Even before Jesus arrived, there was an announcement, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So we've got something to do, we've got to repent. And then Jesus turns up and says, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then there's the parables and there's the Lord's Prayer. And then Jesus dies and rises again. And still he's talking about the kingdom of God. The kingdom is really vitally important. And the kingdom is Jesus' rule and reign in action. It's Jesus ruling and reigning in our own lives. And it has an effect on all around us. And we're going to talk a little bit about that, about how it affects situations and circumstances around us. Jesus tells us specifically, shall we look at it in Matthew 6 in the Lord's Prayer? Matthew 6, verse 9, if you can turn there with me. Because Jesus didn't arrive and say, I've come to bring a church. Now, he did birth a church. He did cause a church to rise up. But he didn't, first of all, say, repent, for the church is at hand. He said, for the kingdom is at hand. He didn't even necessarily start by talking about personal salvation. That was all within the context of a bigger purpose that God had. God wanted to change the whole world. And he did it by sending his son, Jesus. And Jesus said, repent, because there's a kingdom arriving. And if you look with me, as I said, Matthew 6, verse 9, it says, Jesus is telling us, pray like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, or holy is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And for me, that's really the crux of what we're going to talk about this morning. On earth as it is in heaven. Jesus described his kingdom as the kingdom of heaven. And there are things that are happening in heaven right now because God is ruling and reigning, that he wants to happen on earth because God is also ruling and reigning on earth. Jesus is the king. And he's won the ultimate victory. He's a warrior. He's a champion. He's the victor. He's won it all. And just as his will is done in heaven and just as his kingdom is in heaven, functioning and operating, so he wants it to be the same on earth. He wants it to be the same in our lives. He wants it to be the same in the way we talk and share the gospel with the people around us. And that's what I want to focus on, bringing heaven to earth. So we're going to talk a little bit about what does this kingdom of heaven look like? What does it look like when God is ruling and reigning in heaven? And so what will it look like in our lives when God is ruling and reigning in our own lives? Because Jesus said to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we should expect that to happen. If he told us to pray it, he intended for it to be the case. And I believe it is the case, and it is going to increasingly more and more and more be the case that whatever is going on in heaven where God is ruling and reigning, so it is going to be on the earth because heaven is coming to earth. Do you know what I mean? Just like Jesus himself came from heaven to earth, he showed the way that he wanted his kingdom to come, that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven has come. And to give us a bit of direction, I'd like to look at one verse in particular, and that's Romans 14, and that will be the verse we stay really with for the rest of the time this morning. It's Romans 14. And verse 17. So we've said that the kingdom of God is a really, really important topic to God. Jesus talked about it when he arrived. He talked about it throughout his life on earth. He talked about it after he was resurrected. And then Paul and lots of the other writers in the New Testament spent a lot of time talking about the kingdom of God, or they use terms like the plan of God or the purpose of God, or the rule of God. All of that is within this phrase, the kingdom of God. It's what God is doing right now. It's the most important thing anyone is talking about right now. People might be talking about war in this place and famine in this place, but the answer to it all is God's kingdom coming to earth as it is in heaven. The answer to any personal situations that you might face for yourself or your family or your friends is that God's kingdom would come to earth as it is in heaven. And that's why Jesus taught us to pray that first. He taught us to prioritize the right thing. He didn't say, when you pray, first come with all your requests and then ask that the kingdom of God would come. He said, pray, our Father in heaven, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then he talks about daily bread. And he talks about forgiveness. He does talk about those personal things. But he says it's got to be in the context of your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Does that make sense? Jesus is telling us to prioritize the right things. And so in Romans 14, verse 17, you've all turned there by now, it says this, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. I'm going to read that again. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. What a fantastic kingdom that is. There's no kingdom like it. Can you think of any other kingdom in the whole world that could be described as righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit? It's only the kingdom of God. We have lots of natural kingdoms. We're in a natural kingdom. It's called the United Kingdom. It might not be that united. It's still called the United Kingdom. There are other kingdoms in the world. There have been in history lots and lots and lots and lots of kingdoms. You could probably split history up by this kingdom happened and then this kingdom and then this kingdom and then this kingdom. But there's one that outlasts them all, surpasses them all, and that is the kingdom of God. It's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. And I'd like us to look at each of those three aspects and just talk a little bit about how the kingdom is going to come to our own life, yes, but how also the kingdom is going to impact those around us. Because Jesus said to pray, your kingdom come to earth as it is in heaven. I'm going to say that over and over and over again because it's so true. Jesus is intending for his kingdom to come to earth just as it is in heaven. And we're going to talk about how that's already happening and how it's going to happen increasingly. So let's look first of all at that phrase, righteousness. When we're praying, your kingdom come, we're asking for the righteousness of God, the righteousness of heaven, to be seen and to be demonstrated on the earth. So when we say, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, we're saying, Lord, let your righteousness come to earth. Let your righteousness be seen. Let your righteousness be witnessed on earth just like it is in heaven. And that's going to change things because righteousness is not just being the morality police. It's not just hunting people down who disobey the rules. That's not righteousness. My wife tells a funny story about when she was growing up in school. And she had this big thing about her friends swearing and obviously didn't like it. And so her method of trying to encourage her friends to not swear was to kick them if they swore. So if in class she was sat next to someone and they swore, then she'd kick them. Or if they were by the lockers and they were having a conversation and they were chatting away and then one of them swore, then she'd kick them. Now that's one method. It's not really what righteousness is all about. Righteousness is much more than that. Now it might be thinking about the language you use, but it's so much bigger than that. Righteousness is bringing God's kingdom to earth. Because God's kingdom is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Righteousness is standing up for the truth. Righteousness is speaking up when there's an injustice. Righteousness is also demonstrating the way of God in a situation. It's saying, I'm going to live how God has called me to live. It's not out of your own strength, it's in the Holy Spirit. It's to say, this is the right way to do things. This is the way God intended things to be done. And so you're demonstrating that. Righteousness is speaking up when no one else has about an injustice at work. And there's an injustice going on and someone's being put down and put down and put down. And it's our place to say, there's no righteousness in that. I'm going to stand up for righteousness in that situation. It might be picking someone up on the language they're using. It might be something like that. But it's so broad, isn't it? The righteousness of God. And there's a great verse in Proverbs. If you want, you can turn there, but it's Proverbs 4, and if I can just find that for you, about righteousness. And I love this verse, and it's a verse that I often had as a child, as a memory verse. My parents said, have a read of this. This will help you as you grow. I'm sure lots of you have done that with your children. Proverbs 4:18 says, "The path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day." Righteousness shines like the sun, getting brighter and brighter and brighter. You know, righteousness will make a massive difference in your house. Righteousness will make a massive difference in your workplace, in your offices. Righteousness will make a huge difference in the little street corners and communities around here and around where I live. Think of the sun and all that the sun does when it rises. Yeah, it gets rid of darkness, and righteousness will do that. It does separate light and dark. But the sun even does more than that, doesn't it? The sun brings life. The sun brings health. We've all enjoyed a bit of a heat wave this weekend. And yesterday we went for a little walk and we were saying, oh, it's good to get some vitamin D. Because the sun actually brings vitamins to your body. It brings nutrition. It brings health to you. The sun does wonders. And righteousness is like the sun, that as it rises, it will bring health. It will bring life. It will bring growth to situations. I really believe that. Righteousness will create something new in your circumstance. So if you're in a situation, and I've been in situations where I've known that I'm not living how God would have me live in this situation. And God comes to you by the Holy Spirit and says, you need to change in this situation. And you do it, and you start living in righteousness. Then what's happening is the kingdom of heaven is coming to your life. It's coming to earth as it is in heaven. And what will be the result? It will be life and health and growth in us. And I believe it's the same even to people who don't know the Lord. I believe that righteousness will have an impact in our circumstances. I believe that there are situations where just speaking a word, just standing up for the truth, will transform people's perception of God. Just speaking in love to someone will transform their understanding of who Jesus is. And that's what righteousness is all about. It's walking in the ways of God. It's living the life that God would have us live. And it's shining like the sun. It's getting brighter and brighter and brighter to bring life and health to situations. So as I said, righteousness isn't just morality police. It's not just having a list of rules and saying, I must obey these 10 rules today, and then I've ticked the box of righteousness. But no, it's knowing God, and it's saying, I'm going to live God's way, not my own way. And it's not keeping quiet when the name of Jesus is slandered in our communities or our workplaces. It's not keeping quiet when people try to debunk creation or this or that and say, oh, God doesn't exist, God's not real. It's saying, no, I'm going to stand up. I'm going to stand up for righteousness, and I'm going to see the kingdom of heaven come to earth. It's demonstrating justice and love. The foundation of God's throne is righteousness and justice. And so in a situation, if you see an injustice, it's saying righteousness in this situation looks different to that, and I'm going to stand up for that. I'm going to step into the gap for someone. I'm going to meet them where they are. I'm going to bring them out of that. Righteousness is fantastic. And the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. And Jesus has said, let's pray that his kingdom would come to earth as it is in heaven. So he's saying he wants his righteousness to come to earth, just as it is in heaven. And the good thing is, righteousness is already within us. It's not something we strive for. It's not something we have to work ourselves up to attain. It's not something we can pay God for. God, if I give you lots and lots of money, will you give me your righteousness? No, he's already given it to you. He just wants us to live in it. He just wants us to walk in it and to demonstrate it to this world. Because righteousness is missing in this society. Righteousness is missing in our communities. Righteousness is missing in the news. It's missing in the media. There is no righteousness on TV or in movies or in books these days. I've grown up in a society where there is no reverence, if you like, for righteousness. There's no merit placed on righteousness. It's all placed on having what you want, doing what you want, getting what you want. But God has a different way. And God's way of righteousness will be like the sun rising on people's lives when they've lived in darkness and the sun rises because someone has said, no, this is the right thing. Isn't that awesome? So the kingdom of heaven is righteousness. And God has said, let his kingdom come. Let his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What's the second one? So we had the kingdom of God is righteousness, and the second one is peace. And so again, when we're praying your kingdom come, we're praying that peace would be demonstrated and seen on the earth as it is in heaven. Heaven is a place of peace, isn't it? And God said he wants his peace to come to the earth, just like it is in heaven. And with peace, I often have thought of peace as a personal thing. And I think it is in some sense, but we'll talk about how it's also having an impact on other people. But there is a personal peace. There is that peace about a decision that you're making. I've had a decision to make recently about my career path. I had two options before me and deciding which one is which. Quite significant decision. And in prayer and in thought and in discussions together, there comes a point where you just have to say, what does the peace of God say? Where is peace in this situation? And really the lesson is to get to that place a lot earlier in the decision-making process, is not to think about the decision and weigh it up and think, what? But to start with, God, where is your peace? And then from that place to move into the practicalities of the decision. But for me, then I'm still learning, so sometimes I'll start with the practicalities. I'll start with trying to calculate, oh, what's the benefit? What's the risk? What? And then I, wait a minute, Lord, I've missed it here. You've got peace for me to enjoy in this situation. And in that decision, he wants us to move in peace. But it is also more than just that personal peace. It's more than just the peace that comes in a time of worry. There's a peace that can change even your own thought processes. There's a peace that can change the way that someone else thinks. And I'll show you that in the Word, if that's okay. If you could turn with me to Philippians 4. The Bible says that we're to be peacemakers. Not just people who enjoy personal peace. That's a guarantee. That's a given. God has given you peace. That's what the atonement is all about. Peace with God. You've got peace. But we're also called to be peacemakers. And that involves other people, inevitably. So Philippians 4, verses 6 to 7. Again, very familiar verse, I'm sure. I'm sure this is something that we've all read in times of anxiety or times of worry or times when there's been a big decision to make. But it says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, it's the peace of God, not your own peace, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. It's a beautiful verse, isn't it? It's beautiful. And I often will read that in times where there is worry or strife in my own life. But that can also apply to other people, that the peace of God can surpass their understanding and guard their heart and their mind. That word surpass is a cool word. It means to exceed. It means to outdo. It means to outshine. And I believe that the peace of God will outdo your own understanding. It's not just that there's peace category over here and then understanding over here. But the peace is actually above it. It actually surpasses it and goes above and exceeds and outdoes and outshines your own understanding. And so it can change the way you think. It's not that you on one day you think, okay, I'll try and address this with my understanding. And then the next day I'll try and address this with peace. But no, even as you're in the situation, the peace of God will come in and will sit on top of your understanding. It will surpass it. It will outlast it and it will outdo it. And it will say, I'm gonna bring peace to this. And it will change the way we think. Have you ever found that? That you've thought one way and you've thought one way and then you say, wait a minute, I'm going to come to God with prayer and I'm going to come to God with thanksgiving. And you find my understanding is being surpassed. My understanding is being outdone by God's peace. And I believe we can do that for other people by the way we speak to them, by the way we interact with them. And I believe that is one of the ways the kingdom of God is coming to the earth, just as it is in heaven. Once again, just like we said about righteousness, our world is also not a place of peace. There's not a lot of peace around. There's a lot of worry and there's a lot of war. But God wants his peace to reign. God wants his peace to rule. It's just like when snow falls and everything just goes quiet. And I believe that the peace of God is like that. It just falls on a situation and everything, all the activity will cease for a moment and the peace of God has come. He'll do that for us personally. As I say, there are lots of situations for me. When I used to be doing my school exams, my mother was a wonderful woman, still is a wonderful woman. I just said was, didn't I? She still is a wonderful woman. And she used to drive me to my exams. when I was doing my GCSEs or A-levels and even my university exams sometimes, she would call me up before the exam. Because she had this routine, this habit, it's good to have some good habits, of praying for me before my exams. And she would do it with my brothers and sister. And she wouldn't pray the prayer that I really wanted her to pray. I really wanted her to pray, Lord, let him know all the answers. Lord, let him get every question right. She never prayed that prayer, much to my dismay. But she did pray a prayer of peace. She did pray that God would rule over my mind, that God would bring peace to me as I sat in the exam hall, that he wouldn't allow worry to fester in my heart, but that I'd just know the peace of God and the presence of God. And without fail, I did. And I used to then have a habit of I would go and sit in the exam and I'd remember what my mum had prayed and I would put my hand on my exam paper. I remember doing this with every GCSE exam paper, every A-level exam paper. I'd put my hand on the paper and I'd say, Lord, you know the questions and you know whether or not I know the answers, but I just want to thank you for your peace. And I did okay in my exams. But the most important thing is I learned a lesson. The peace of God will surpass, it will sit on top of your understanding. It will take control of it. It will outdo it. And even the things where you think, I have no understanding of this situation, no idea why I'm facing this, no idea what to do next. Lord, let your peace rule. Let your peace reign. And that is the kingdom of God coming to earth as it is in heaven. Because in heaven there is no war. There is no crying or pain. There is only peace. And God wants us to experience that in all of the trials of life. The same has been true in our pregnancy. There's been times when we've faced a challenging situation, or a doctor has said something, or there's been the potential for something to happen that we might not necessarily have expected. And in those situations, yes, you have to think through the practicalities of it, but at the same time, we just pray, Lord, let your peace be in this situation. Lord, give us peace about this. Lord, speak into this situation. Lord, let your will be done in this situation. And what do you find? God pulls through. God pulls through. Victoria was preaching to us the same message this morning. And so wonderful to hear. And really, I kind of felt like I could just say, do you want to come back up and carry on? Do you know what I mean? But God wants his peace to be witnessed in this world. People are walking around with lots and lots of worry, lots and lots of war. There's domestic war going on in people's homes. In so many homes in this city, there is war in the house. Husband against wife, or partner against partner, or father to child, or mother to child. There's lots of war, and there's lots of worry. There's worry about, is our nation going to survive the next big change? Is this nation going to attack this nation? Is the whole world going to change? And what is God saying? Peace, peace, peace. And it will surpass our understanding. That's the kingdom of God coming to heaven as it is on earth. Coming to earth as it is on heaven. I do apologize. Do I have enough time to look at joy with you just for another 5 minutes? The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And when we say, your kingdom come, we're also saying, Lord, let your joy come to earth just as it is in heaven. So let your righteousness come, let your peace come, and let your joy come. And joy, once again, is not just limited to our own experience. We've all known what it's like to have the joy of the Lord, because in our salvation, Peter describes it as joy inexpressible and full of glory. I think you'll find that in Peter. And so we've all, in our salvation, experienced joy. And we all know that the joy of the Lord is our strength. But there is also a joy that can impact communities and nations around us. Joy is not just the absence of sadness. It's not just the absence of grief. Because even in those things, you can know that the joy of the Lord is your strength. If you look in Isaiah 61, it speaks about that. I'll read it to you. Isaiah 61, again, a familiar verse, but I'd just like to draw your attention to it. It says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion to give them a beautiful headdress or a beautiful crown instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. They shall build up the ancient ruins. They shall raise up the former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. Can you see the change that these people go through? They're described here. They start off in mourning. They start off in grief. And then God gives them a crown instead of their ashes. He gives them an oil of gladness instead of mourning. And he gives them a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. And then what do? They go and rebuild the ruined cities. They go and restore the things that were broken. They go and build up the ancient ruins. These people have gone on such a transformation because of the joy of the Lord. They've gone from mourning and grief, and although they've still experienced those things, and in some ways they may still be walking through those things, they've got a crown on. They've got a garment of praise on. And so they can go out into other people's situation, other people's ruined cities, and other people's crumbling circumstances, and say, I'm going to rebuild. I'm going to restore. I'm going to be someone who comes to build you up. And that's what the joy of the Lord will do. That's what the joy of the kingdom is all about. The joy of the kingdom will keep you on the front foot to go and help other people. It will keep you rebuilding and restoring other people. So when we pray, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, we're praying that the joy of the Lord, the joy of heaven, would come to people's situations and would begin to rebuild them, would begin to restore them, would begin to lift them up out of their grief, out of their worry. There's a lovely friend of ours in America. My wife, Renee, is from a place called Gilman in Illinois, a really small town, and there's a church there. And there's a lady called Darlene, and she has faced many trials in her life. She's an elderly lady. She's come through a very, very rare and aggressive form of cancer that she had very, very little chance of surviving. And she's alive and well. And that's had effects on her and her family. That's had effects on her physical strength and ability. But she is a woman of great joy. She's probably the most joyful woman I've met. She exudes the joy of the Lord, not just her own. She's not just a bubbly personality. She knows the joy of the Lord, which is her strength. She knows the joy of the kingdom, which is heaven on earth. It's a heavenly quality. It's not just something you work up as an earthly thing. It's a heavenly quality. And she is able to change other people's situations because of that joy. It's not just something she thinks, oh yes, I'm in a place with the Lord now where I can enjoy him. But no, she's actually able to actively move out and rebuild other people. She'll be the first one to come up to you and pray with you about a situation you're in. She'll be the first one to come up to you and encourage you and build you up. And that's what people who know the joy of the Lord do. That's people who've been crowned and who've been robed with praise and with gladness. And they're able to then go and rebuild things. And that is the kingdom of God coming on earth as it is in heaven. So we've talked about this kingdom. We've talked about the fact that Jesus said, pray that his kingdom would come on earth as it is in heaven. And the kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. And I hope that that's helped us to understand what righteousness, peace, and joy will look like, not just for ourselves, which is important. Jesus does want us to enjoy his righteousness and his peace and his joy, but also to see change happen in people around us. So I trust that even as I've been talking, then there's been things that have been coming to mind for work colleagues or neighbors or even family members, even loved ones, even husbands or wives or children who maybe don't know what it is to have the righteousness of God demonstrated, or the joy of the Lord spoken into them, or peace that surpasses their understanding. And I pray that as we go from this place, we would know that we carry this kingdom with us, that we carry righteousness, that we carry peace, that we carry joy. And as we go into those situations, we're going as ambassadors of Christ to take those things to that situation and say, I'm going to plant the seed of righteousness here that will flourish and become a great tree. Or I'm going to plant the seed of peace that will flourish and will change your thinking. Or I'm going to plant the seed of joy that will begin to rebuild something that's been broken. Do you know what I mean? The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. And righteousness shines like the sun to bring life and growth and health. Peace from the kingdom will exceed human understanding, and it will change the way of thinking around And joy will restore people in their emotions, and it will rebuild things that have been broken, because the kingdom of God is coming to earth as it is in heaven, and it's coming through us. And that is good news, isn't it? That's good news for the people you know. They're blessed to know you. For want of a better phrase, your neighbors are lucky to have you. Because you're going to change them. You're going to change their situations. You're going to introduce them to a kingdom which is far above any sort of earthly way of doing things, because it's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. And we're going to share communion together. And as we do that, I trust that you will know for your own life righteousness from God into situations. I trust that the Holy Spirit, as you take the bread and the wine, will speak to you about situations in your life where he wants to make a change and to bring his righteousness. I trust then also that he will speak peace to you for situations in your life, for health, for family strife. He will speak peace to you. For big decisions to make, he's going to give you peace. And peace will surpass your understanding, so that no longer is it a thought process that you think I have to get to from A to B, but instead, no, he takes you out of that and says, let my peace rule and reign. And even as we take the bread and the wine, that's going to happen for you. You're going to know the peace of God like you've never known it before. And also I pray that he's going to fill you with joy. As we take the bread and the wine, I know that God, by his Holy Spirit, is going to fill you with joy that will be strength to you. It will be rebuilding to you. It will be restoration to you. It will lift you up. It will restore you in your emotions, in your thinking, and even in your own body. He's going to bring health and life to you as we take the bread and the wine together. I'd like to pray as we do that for Victoria as well, for health. Because God is at work in our world, and he is the healer. He's the victor. He's the champion. Jesus is alive and well, and his kingdom is ruling and reigning. And he wants the things of heaven to be experienced and witnessed on the earth, not just in a future age to come, but right now, right here. And that is exciting. So can we take the bread and the wine together? Equally, if any of you would like Renee and I to stand with you in prayer in any of these areas, we're very happy to. But I also say we're learning exactly the same things. We're walking exactly the same path. And we love enjoying this journey with you together in the Lord. So let's take the bread and the wine together. Lord Jesus, I want to thank you. I want to thank you that you came to earth as the King of your kingdom. That with you, Lord, you brought your righteousness and your peace and your joy to bear on this earth. Jesus, you are the most righteous, the most peaceful, and the most joyful. And Lord, you died to take away all of our sin and to take away every barrier and everything that would entangle us. And you rose again to guarantee that we would have new life in you, that we'd have resurrection life in you, Lord. And you bought us with a price. You bought us with the price of your own body and your own blood. And Lord Jesus, you've rescued us and you've ransomed us and you've put our feet on a rock and you lifted us out of the miry clay. Lord Jesus, you're so wonderful. We're so thankful for our salvation in you. We're so thankful that we're restored and we're redeemed. And Lord Jesus, we're thankful that we've been brought into your kingdom. We're thankful that we've been brought into righteousness and peace and joy in you. And I pray that as we take the bread and the wine and as we remember you and we remember your death and your resurrection until you come again, we also remember, Lord, that you have bought for us righteousness and peace and joy, that we would enjoy them and live in them and experience them. But also, Lord, that this world would be changed by your gospel, by the good news of your kingdom. Lord, we do have such compassion for those around us who don't know you. And Lord, we pray that as we leave this place, we would leave knowing that you have called us to be ambassadors, to be representatives of your fantastic and awesome kingdom, which is righteousness and peace and joy in your Holy Spirit. So Lord, even as we eat and drink of you, Lord, I pray that you would bring into our hearts a great sense of your righteousness. Lord, that you'd surpass our minds with your peace, and that, Lord, you'd restore us with your joy. Bring health and wholeness to everybody in this place, Lord. Bring health and wholeness, Lord Jesus. By your wonderful name, we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Father, holy is your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord Jesus, it's your kingdom, and by shedding your blood, you inaugurated it on this earth. And so as we take of your blood now, I want to thank you that, Lord, you have restored us to peace with God by your blood, and that your blood is ever fresh for us. And Lord Jesus, there is no sweeter name. There is no name more beautiful, more wonderful or powerful than your name, Lord Jesus. We love you. We worship you. Amen.